And happy Father's Day to all of us. I'm so glad to be back today. I wasn't here last Sunday. I was bit by a spider, and I survived. I'm alive. The spider crawled away, and just before he died, he was singing, "There's power in the blood." And then he died. Isn't it great to be alive? I don't know how many of you are facing challenges in your life. Life is funny that way. We go through seasons to where it's almost coasting downhill, and then seasons can change, and we're facing a climb up a mountain. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Caleb being one of the minority among God's people. Out of 12 spies, there were only two, a small minority, that believed the promise of God when they went in to spy out the land. Caleb and Joshua were those two. Of the 12, those two were the only two that were able to live long enough to get into the promised land. And even Elvis sang a song that said, "Lord, this time you gave me a mountain." And then Merle Haggard, for those Merle fans in the crowd, he sang a song, "I'm always on a mountain when I fall." So a challenge that's ahead of you. It may be a mountain of some kind. And we talked about how there are giants to conquer if you're ever going to reach the top of your mountain. The mountain for all of us represents different things. It could represent our destiny, our highest call in life. It is waiting for us at the top of the mountain. We have things to deal with in the climb, giants to defeat. Or your mountain could be an addiction or a pattern of behavior that seems to overwhelm you and leave you powerless over your mountain. The mountain, the challenge that you're facing, different for each one of us. But I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Caleb was the one, even in his older age, when it was time to possess the promise of God. He's the one who looked over the horizon, saw a tall mountain, and he said, "Give me this mountain." Some of us need to look at our mountains today and claim the promise of God for our life. In Joshua chapter 18, beginning at verse 2, it says, "But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance." Now, there are only 12 tribes, and seven of the 12, that's a majority. The majority of God's people had not yet received the inheritance and the promise God had made them. I believe probably that's statistically about the same today, maybe even worse. That the majority of God's people are still facing a mountain, a challenge of some kind, all kind of enemies and giants that we must defeat if we're ever going to reach the top and overcome. How sad that the majority of God's people have not yet stepped into the promise of God. And then Joshua in verse 3, Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? How long will you neglect to go and possess the promise God has made to you?" And then in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 31, God speaks to his children and says, "I have begun to give you the land. Begin to possess it." That's where many of us are today. I want to talk today about possession by conquest. Caleb said, give me this mountain. Now, some of God's people were already enjoying the promise. They were already in the promise of God. But the majority were not, because they procrastinated and remained disengaged. They treated the promise of God carelessly, nonchalantly. Maybe so, maybe not, maybe now, maybe later, maybe never. The majority of God's people still outside of the promise. And I want to talk about the terms of possession. When God makes a promise, there are terms to possess the promise. I want to give you four quickly this morning. The first way we receive the promise of God is possession by lot as an inheritance. You can read about that in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 6. Possession by lot. In other words, just because I'm one of God's people, I will be blessed by a measure of the promises of God, just by being one in the body. It's possession by lot. It's allocated for us. The blessing of God has been assigned to all of His children. Generically, all of us are blessed with the promise of God. The Bible says that He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Just by being on the planet God created and being a part of His highest created order, human mankind, then there is a blessing by lot. That's our lot in this life. When Jesus was in the earth, everybody in the crowd was fed to the full and more left over. Now, 5,000 plus at a single time. Everybody hungry, everybody in the crowd was fed, because part of the promise and the provision of God is just ours, because it's our lot, it's our allotment in life, because we belong to God. And now if you look closely at your lot in life, and I know nobody will probably say, oh, everything's perfect in my life right now today. Probably not. But if you look closely at your lot in life, you will see the goodness of God. It's our allotment. It's our possession by lot. And then the second term of possessions. This is how we receive the promise of God. Take possession of the promise of God. Is possession based on the capacity of the recipient? Did you know you can put two people side by side and one perhaps may have a greater capacity to receive certain things from God than the other person has? All of us have a different capacity to receive. Let me just say, when it comes to giving and receiving, God never has a problem with giving. If there is a problem, it's always we have a problem with receiving. How capable are we of receiving, being responsible for possessing the blessing God wants us to have? How much of the promise of God can we handle, in other words? God even speaks His word as we are able to hear it. God may have a word for you. You may need a word right now. He may have one for you, but He's not required biblically to speak the word you need until we are able, we have the capacity to hear, which means to receive it. And David said, God knows our frame. He knows our frailties. He knows where our breaking point is. God's fully aware of our inadequacies, and He knows our capacity to receive. You know, I do not want to win $100 million in the lottery. Please, I don't have the capacity for that. God probably knows. I don't want Carl to scratch off any of that. And, you know, I'm fine with that because I'm not sure I could be as responsible as I should be. I would buy a boat, and I don't even boat. I'd buy a boat and give it to the Osbournes and the Pearsons and the Rosses. A big one. Give you a big one. All of you could get on that at the same time. But God considers our capacity to receive. And that has a lot to do with our faith. Even in the parable of the talents, God gave to each person a certain amount. He gave to each person, the Bible says, according to their ability. Some of us are more able than others in certain areas. And God designed it that way. That's why we need one another. I may have a blind spot. You may have light in that area. I need the light you have. You may have a blind spot. And I may have some light in that area. We need each other. That's why the body was designed to function perfectly in unity and in harmony. And when there is that, the blessing of the Lord has no limit on us. So, possession by lot, we're just allotted so much blessing from God just by being here and being God's child. Then possession based on the capacity of the recipient. Thirdly, is possession by request. Yours for the asking. There are some things God has for us that we will receive from Him if we ask. And we will not receive it if we don't ask. So one way to possess the promise of God is simply by request. Jesus said, you have not because you haven't asked. One time, Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Just think of the need you have right now. Look at that mountain staring you in the face. And you're frustrated perhaps and already worn out just looking at the size of that mountain you've got to climb in order to get the promise of God. Nobody said it would be an easy climb every day. But isn't it good to know that some of the promises of God come to us simply by request? And Jesus drove that point home. He told his disciples and those who followed him, ask and you will receive. Then he slipped it in the second gear. It was a little firmer. He said, seek and you will find. And then he threw it full throttle into high gear and said, knock, and the door will be open. There are some promises from God you will never get unless you ask, and that may not be enough. On occasion, you may have to seek, and even then, you may have to realize this is not working, and you may have to go to knocking. But Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened unto him. Possession by request. That should affect your prayer life. Hannah in the Old Testament was barren. She knew God had a better plan for her life than that. The dream of her heart was to have a child. She was barren and it was hopeless medically. But God gave her a son because she asked. Read it. It's in the Old Testament. Elisha, one of the great prophets, in the Old Testament received a double portion anointing. Why? Because the record shows he asked for it. Ask and you receive. Some of the promises of God we possess simply by request. Jesus to the woman at the well said, if you only knew who I am, you would have asked me for water, and I would have given you living water if you had asked. So we have possession by lot. It's our lot in life as being the people of God. We have possession based on our capacity to receive. Then we have possession of the promise by request. And then in Mark 11:24, it says, Jesus speaking, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And the only time Jesus ever marveled was not at how great a person's sin was not at how big a person's offering was. The only time Jesus marveled was when the people simply did not believe. Repeated this as Jesus marveled at their unbelief. If you get the promise of God, and here's a book full of them, but when you get the promise of God for you, when you know the promise of God for your life, don't allow Jesus to marvel at you for your doubt and unbelief. When Jesus marveled at their unbelief, he realized three things. Number one, they were not convinced of the promise. Number two, they did not agree with the promise. Number three, they didn't even try to possess the promise. And Jesus marveled. How can they hear the word, know who I am, see all I have done and I am doing, and still have unbelief? So men and women of faith, that's God's people. And here's the way faith works. When you're believing for the promise God has given you, is when faith goes to market, faith takes a big basket. We believe God to fill the basket. And then there's the fourth and final way we receive the promise, and that's what I want to talk about for 10 minutes before we dismiss and go have a great Father's Day with your family. And this is possession by conquest. This is the big one. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24, God said, I have given you the land. Engage the enemy in battle and begin to possess it. Now, this is warfare right here. There are some promises God has made to you that will not be served on a silver platter without any effort or engagement on our part. There are some promises from God that are worth fighting for. And it will bring out the fight in us when the time has come to possess it. God said, I've given you the land. What have you got to do? Engage the enemy in battle and begin to possess the land I promised you. Now, the Bible says about Caleb, and he's the one who at 85, by the way, thank you for not telling everybody how old I was, but I'm not 85 yet. But I'd like to be like Caleb when I do become 85. At 85 years, he said, I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago. And I'm going to possess the promise, and there's a fight in me that's coming out right now. You give me this mountain, and I'll tell every giant that's on that mountain to get off my mountain. Merle Haggard, God bless him, sang another song. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Has an enemy crossed your fighting side? Well, if you climb your mountain, You'll find a giant or two you've got to deal with. You'll have to tell them. The Bible says Caleb was a man with a different spirit. Oh, he was set apart from the majority of God's people. Most of them were in unbelief. Oh, we can't go there. Oh, I know the fruit is good. I know the land is rich. Oh, but we cannot kill those giants that claim that land as theirs. There's no way. But Caleb and Joshua said, we are well able. Let's go in at once and claim the promise. Are you willing to fight for the promise of God to come to pass? And Caleb said, I'll take on the giants in order to receive what God has promised me. They're walking on the fighting side of me. I'm going to teach them who God is. And God decides what we can have. But many times we determine what we will have based on our willingness to fight for the promise. I'm telling you, I've had mountains, a few. I know, so have you. But there was a promise I was fighting for. I had a mountain that one time was called California. Then I had a mountain that was one time between California and Florence. I had to climb a mountain for the promise God had made me. Then I had a mountain one time that was the Soviet Union. There were giants to slay. But I've never regretted a single step while climbing a mountain to get to the promise of God for my life. Sometimes it takes a fight. Now, the promise is a given, but the possession sometimes requires some effort. I remember many years ago, I'm getting older. I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, but Laverne and Edith Tripp were here in Florence and at our home, and they ministered here on Sunday, and we were fellowshipping together, and out of nowhere, Laverne Tripp said, Carl, I just bought a new car, and I believe the Lord wants me to give you my old car. Well, his old car was only 3 years old, and it was a Lincoln Continental, and it was nice, and so sitting in our home, Laverne said, I believe the Lord wants me to give you my car. And I said, well, Laverne, if the Lord's telling you that, if I were you, I would obey him. I don't want to say no and rob you of a promise. And then he said, but now there's only one thing. I said, well, what's that? He said, we're here in South Carolina. The car's in California. You're going to have to get there somehow and drive it back. And I said, not a problem. Now, here's the deal. I did not leave to go to California with a doubt that, oh, I don't deserve this. And Laverne might change his mind when I'm halfway there. Oh my, what if he backs out? No, no. I know him. He's a man of honor, a man of his word. And if he made me that promise, he was going to fill that promise for me. I never had a question. Laverne didn't have to marvel at my unbelief. I had none. So I think they were on the bus. So we rode the bus back to California, and with drivers like they had, I think we got there in 22 hours, or I don't know. It was nonstop practically, and then it took us a little bit longer to drive back. Brenda and I got in that car and drove a Lincoln Continental home. But here's the deal: Laverne made a promise that he would give me his car. But I had to go to take possession of it. Now, the battle is the Lord's, but the warfare is ours. If you want some homework, and if you got apps like I do, and I don't have many apps, They don't know me at the app store that well. But I've got a couple that, and you can check this out. The word for warfare in the Greek language in the New Testament, the word for warfare is the word for strategy. The battle is the Lord's, but the strategy is up to us as we partner with him to climb the mountain that's ahead of us. David, the psalmist, said, God teaches my hands to war. One translation says, he customizes my battle strategies and instructs me skillfully. Oh, now we're climbing the mountain now. With this equipment, God customizes my battle strategies and he instructs me skillfully. He teaches my hands to war. The Bible says God will bless everything you put your hand to. That's his generic, broad brush, general blessing on all of his people. He said, if you put your hand to it, I'll bless it. And the reason some don't get a blessing is because they've never put their hand to it. They've never stretched their hand toward the promise of God. David realized when he was facing his giant, Goliath, he realized now that there was a purpose in killing that lion a while back, and there was a purpose in killing that bear a while back when they tried to hurt one of the sheep under his watch. Suddenly, when he's standing in front of Goliath, it all made sense to him, the lion. I'm sure when that happened, he having to kill a lion with his bare hands, he probably didn't. I've never done this before. I don't think I can do this, but I have no choice. And he killed the lion. And he probably thought for a minute, what was that all about? And then a little later, it happened again with a bear. David probably felt this, I can't kill a bear. I've been taught to run from them, but I'm not letting him hurt my sheep. And so a fight came up inside of him, and he killed the bear, and he probably thought again, what was that? Oh, has anything ever happened in your life, and it just left you stunned for a moment, and what was that all about? All of a sudden, now David's facing Goliath, and it all made sense to him. He realized right then, God has taught my hands how to make war. And so he faced Goliath and killed him. And he realized the lion and the bear and everything, it all happened for a reason. Now, I'm going to read a few verses and wrap it up, but listen to how rich this scripture is. In Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, here's the transition of seasons. God's people were used to Moses and Moses as their leader, but the generations were changing, and Moses had died, and now Joshua was emerging as the leader for a new generation. It was a time of transition for God's people. In verse 1 of Joshua 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead. The time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. In verse 3, listen to this powerful word, God speaking to his people. Today, God speaking to us, his people. God says, I promise you. That's not from me. God said, I promise you what I promised Moses. afterwards, those who came before you. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. Down at verse 5, what a promise. No one will be able to stand against you until you get halfway up the mountain, and then you're going to run into trouble. No. God promised, no one will be able to stand against you until you're 75 years old. God promised, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. God says, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. You've heard the term God forsaken. You will never be called God forsaken. He said, I will not abandon you. I will be with you. And then verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Is this not good scripture? How powerful are these words? Then verse 9, this is my command. You're facing a mountain. You see a giant you've got to kill. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, that's God's promise, and I'm believing it. He's not going to marvel at my unbelief over that. Here's the way God is. As he keeps his promises to us, sometimes it requires a fight out of us in order to put. Sometimes we've got to get up from where we, oh, you promised me, I got to go, okay. There are seasons in life when we're still and we're dormant and we're waiting. We're in a holding pattern. God's not given you everything he has for you yet. He's not given me all he has for me yet. Sometimes we're waiting. And while we're still and waiting, be still and know that I am God. And we're there. The promise of God is, I will be with you. If you're waiting, God will be with you. But then the season's changed, and he calls us to get on the move. And then his promise is, I will go with you. It's win-win. He said, I'll go with you wherever you go. Now, that's a good promise from God. Here are four commandments for God's people on the move. We just read them. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. And don't be discouraged. The devil had a yard sale, the story goes. It was probably at a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. All of the tools in his inventory that he didn't use anymore, he stretched out on tables for people to come by and get used tools that the devil no longer had need of. And one particular tool sitting on the table drew somebody's attention. A prospective buyer. I hope we have no prospective buyers in the house, people who might want to buy something off the devil's table today. No, but this is a fable story, of course, to prove a point. So this prospective buyer goes up and says, huh, I noticed this tool right here, this specific tomb, it looks so worn out. It looks more worn out than any of the others on the table. And the devil looked at that particular tool and grabbed it quickly and said, oh no, it's a mistake. I did not mean to put this piece of equipment on the table. It is absolutely not for sale. It never fails. I'm keeping it. And it was the devil's tool called discouragement. Now you can look at a mountain and that thing is so tall, you say, oh, no way. Like the unbelieving children of Israel. Oh, I see over there far enough. It is a beautiful land. I mean, life's got to be wonderful over there. Look at the size of those grapes and the fruit flowing with milk and honey. Houses already built. We could just move into the nice houses. Wells already dug. We don't even have to dig wells for water. Oh, but we've got to kill some giants. We've got to get a fight going inside of us in order to get to the top of the mountain where your destiny waits and where the promise of God is waiting. Now, things were changing during this time. Joshua became the leader of God's people. Under the Moses model, God's people were in transition and in alignment. Under the Joshua model, that's our generation, we are no longer in transition, but we are in position. And we're no longer in alignment, we are now under assignment. It is our day, and your assignment will have an enemy. I'm going to close with good news. If you'll stand, I'll close quicker. Wow, everybody on their feet. I'm not saying it's always easy. Take my word for it. Some days are not at all easy. But in Daniel 11:32, and this is good news for all of God's people here today, it says, the people that know their God will be strong and do exploits. The people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. There is a lot of challenge between here and the top of your mountain. But you will not be forsaken. God will go with you. And he says, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, and don't be discouraged, but go and do exploits. Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you for this day. It's a day you've made, given it to us as a gift. And it's your day. It's Sunday, the Lord's day. So I speak a blessing over the people of God who have honored you as we honor our earthly fathers today. We first and foremost honor our heavenly Father by coming to your house and giving praise to your name and giving an ear to your word as you speak life and strength to us. I pray a blessing over your people who are faithful. I release them by the will of God and by the word of God we've heard today for them to go and be strong and to do exploits. We thank you for all that you have given us, every promise we've realized, and that which is yet to be realized in our lives. This is no time to quit, to bail out, to throw in the towel and give up. This is the time to press in instead of settle for something less than God's best. And so we eat this word like a hungry man eats bread. And we find life and strength in your word and in your promise today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. God bless you. Thank you.